The parable that we just heard from Matthew's gospel, remember we've been reading Matthew for some time, it's called the parable of the workers in the vineyard. And as we heard, it kind of goes like this. There's a man who owns a vineyard. Early in the morning, he goes to the marketplace or the town square to hire workers to work in his vineyard. And he offers to pay them the usual daily wage. A few hours later, at 9 o'clock in the morning, he goes back to the square. He sees people standing idle. He offers them work as well and offers to pay them whatever is right. And so they went. They said yes, right? Same thing happens at noon and at 3 and at 5. Each time he returns, he finds people. And he finds them idle. And so each time he invites them to work for him in his vineyard. And each time they said yes. They went. When evening came and it was time to settle accounts and pay the workers, interestingly, at least to me, he paid them in the opposite order of when they started working. Those who came to work at 5 p.m. were paid first. Then those who came to work at 3 were next, and those who came at noon were next, and so on, until finally the first to work were the last to be paid. Of course, the first workers presumed that they would be paid more, but each of them received the usual daily wage. And so they grumbled against the vineyard owner. They said the exact same thing that siblings always say when one kid perceives an injustice on the part of the parents, right? You remember it. If you have kids or if you've been a kid, you've heard this phrase. It's not fair, right? It's not fair. These other ones did not work as long as we did, and yet you have made them equal to us. Just to finish the story, the owner of the vineyard said to those who worked the longest, "We had a deal. I've upheld my part. Take what belongs to you, it's yours. But I am free to be generous to any that I choose." That's it. That's the end of the parable. So, a few things. First, this parable is not about money. It's not about economic justice. There are parables and other Bible stories that deal with economic justice, but this is not one. And you won't learn much about how to run a vineyard from this parable. As one commentator said, if this parable is about great business practices, all that we could learn from this is that Jesus is a lousy bookkeeper. This parable is about grace. And it has, I think, at least three things to teach us about this most important topic. The first is about the nature of our unworthiness before God because of our sins. But we could also phrase it another way, that we might ask ourselves, what are we owed by God? The second is about the nature of God in Christ, that though we were owed nothing because of our sinfulness, nevertheless, he chose to give us everything. And the third is about the nature of our discipleship of him. In other words, it's about the nature, what it means to follow Jesus as a disciple. So one and two are relatively clear, I think. Three takes maybe a little bit more unpacking. So let's start with us by talking about the earliest workers, The way that the first or the earliest workers got sideways with the vineyard owner was they presumed that they were entitled to more than everyone else, right? And this is, again, not a story about money. It's about grace. Their complaint was, you have made them equal to us. The fallacy inherent in their complaint is that there's not enough reward for everyone, such that the owner should be stingy with those who come to the party late. Sometimes we disciples think that we are more deserving of grace than others for whatever reason. And it happened several times with the original apostles and disciples. Who is the greatest disciple? If it happened to the original disciples and apostles, why not us? So we need to always be on the lookout for it in ourselves, thinking that we have more call to grace. I may say, I never miss church. I say my prayers every day. I serve the poor, therefore I deserve more grace. But that's not the way that grace works. Those things are praiseworthy practices, but we cannot hoard grace like a commodity. By his life, teaching, and most importantly, his work on the cross, Jesus Christ has made an everlasting supply of grace. By right, even though the parable didn't go that way, by right, the owner of the vineyard could compel the workers to work. Instead, he chose to invite them into his work. And he promised to reward them, despite the fact that they were unworthy. And they agreed. It's simply nonsensical to ask for more when you already have everything that you already need. We are not worthy. That's my Wayne's World prayer, right? Anybody? Wayne's World? No? Yeah? We're not worthy? No? Okay, sorry. We are not worthy. And yet, Jesus has declared that we are worthy. And that is grace, unmerited gift and favor. And it would be uncouth, at least, even coarse and vulgar, in the extreme, to ask for more. So that's points one and two, all sort of rolled up into one. Unmerited grace and everlasting life, those two things. They're big. The third part about grace is that once you grasp a hold of it by following Jesus and you understand that there is enough grace for yourself and everyone else, not only do you not compete for grace with each other, but you rejoice with every new worker that joins in the work of the vineyard. It doesn't matter whether you're first in or last in, you're in When you're in, when you're saved by grace, you want everyone else to come in as well, as quickly as they can. This is what grace does for us. It wakes us up to the reality of the privilege of working in the vineyard of the Lord. That working in the vineyard of the Lord is nothing less than a preview of paradise on this side of heaven. Not only would we not grumble against the vineyard owner because someone got in late, we would rejoice because every time another worker showed up, even at the 11th hour, in fact, all the more, we would rejoice. So, one challenge remains, at least I think. One challenge remains. Why are so many still idle? In the parable, the owner of the vineyard is always going back. Did you catch that? He always is going back to the marketplace to invite others into his work. Why are you standing here idle all day? He asked. And they said to him, because no one has hired us. He said to them, you also go into the vineyard. And this is an invitation to the life of Christian discipleship. Jesus asks us every day, why are you doing nothing? We respond, well, we didn't know what to do. You know, we've never picked grapes in a vineyard. We need some instruction. Jesus responds every day, let me show you again in love. This is how it works. You pray, you study, you worship, you serve, you give, you join in fellowship, and you rest. That's the life of discipleship. So go, get started, and above all, love. Love in all things. Just start. It may be hard at first, or it might seem hard at first. Just get started. He promises us that he will be with us every day. And before long, he says, before long, you will realize that this work in my vineyard is no work at all. This is a preview of paradise. So, saints, don't miss your opportunities for paradise now. Working in the vineyard now. That is the life of the Christian disciple. Because when you start, when you just start, and then when you persist in discipleship, in following Jesus, in working in the vineyard of God, you will see the face of love face to face. And when others show up for that same paradise on earth that is discipleship, our only reasonable response is not, how did you get here? But thanks be to God. You made it. You made it. By the same grace that I had, you made it too. Then, the only other thing left to do for us is to make some wine. Amen.